I'm going to be teaching from Romans chapter 8 this morning, so go ahead and turn there to our master text in Romans chapter 8, and we're going to be continuing a little series that we did last week called Walking in the Spirit. So when you find Romans 8, go ahead and stand up with me if you will, and we're going to read the Word of the Lord. And this is a little bit of a lengthier reading this morning, verses 5 through 14. So bear with this longer reading, but this is good stuff right here. Good stuff. So Romans 8, starting in verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Praise God. Well, again, we're going to be talking about walking in the Spirit again today. I think this is an important enough topic to not just stop on one teaching. Last week's teaching was pretty content rich. And if you haven't heard that, by the way, please go back to the website and listen to that, because it provides such an important foundation for today's teaching. These two teachings are meant to go together. So if you weren't here last week and you didn't hear that, please pull that up on the website and listen to that. Well, I want to ask the question as we start out this morning, why is walking in the Spirit so important? Well, a couple of reasons. First of all, because it helps us to avoid sin. First of all, when you're walking in the Spirit, you sin less. So that's the first reason. But also because it helps us to stay connected to God's best in our lives. It enables us to stay in that secret place of the Most High, to quote Psalm 91. So that shelter of the Most High that Psalm 91 talks about, it helps us to stay there when we're walking in the Spirit. But speaking of last week's teaching, let me go back just for a moment here and give you some principles from last week's teaching before we get into the principles of this week's teaching. So how do we walk in the Spirit then? Well, again, last week we talked about constant communication and fellowship with God is one way we walk in the Spirit, but also seeking God's wisdom. It's not just a feeling. It's not just a goosebump. We seek God's wisdom. That's another way we walk in the Spirit. But also walking by faith, understanding that we don't have to have some angelic visitation all the time in order to be walking by the Spirit. It doesn't have to be some sort of ecstatic emotion or experience, a goosebump or a butterfly. But no, we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. And then lastly, from last week, we talked about making Jesus the king of our hearts. In other words, making him our supreme authority. Whatever he says goes. We make him our supreme authority. We don't occupy the throne of our hearts ourselves and say, I'm the captain of my own ship and the master of my own fate. No, we put Jesus on the throne of our hearts and we follow his lead. Amen. So on that note then, I want to talk about a couple of principles today I don't think this will take very long. There's just a couple of quick principles here, but I'm going to be elaborating on them at length. So I don't know, maybe we'll get out of here sooner than usual, and maybe the Spirit will hit me and it'll take a lot longer. We'll see what happens. Okay, praise God. Well, when we talk about walking in the Spirit, this is the first principle here. When we talk about walking in the Spirit, we really need to take a step back and consider the most basic concept of how we do that. And that is that it starts in the mind. It starts in the mind. Now, in our men's group that meet on Wednesday nights, we were studying the book of Galatians. And when we came to Galatians chapter 5, there were some statements in there that really sparked this discussion on walking in the Spirit. And that part of our discussion was quite prolonged, and there was a lot of great feedback from every person that was there in attendance. And I said, man, this is so good. I would love for you guys to take what you said tonight and put it in email form, and we'll have an email thread of everybody's contribution. And so several people did that. As a matter of fact, I welcomed all the men of the church to do that, even the ones that aren't able to make it on Wednesday nights because of your work schedules. And so even a couple people that don't attend on Wednesday nights chimed into that discussion, and we really got some good feedback. And so I'm going to be sharing some of what those men shared in that email. So I want to thank you guys for helping me to write today's sermon. So, firstly, Steve Schuler referenced Isaiah chapter 55, 8 and 9 in that email thread. So let's read that first, and then I'll elaborate on what he said in that email. So Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." So Steve said in that email that walking in the Spirit to him means listening to that still small voice on the inside and learning to recognize when God is speaking. And then, of course, responding even when it doesn't seem logical to do so. So there's really three highlights of what Steve wrote in that email. Listening is the first one, and then responding to whatever God says, even if it doesn't make sense or seem logical at the time. And I ask Steve and Patty to provide a testimony along those lines of a time in their life when they practiced this and the Holy Spirit led them in a very important and life-changing, life-altering path in their lives. So Steve, or Patty, are you coming too? Or, okay, so here you go. There you go.
So I don't know if I shared before that I've been through two divorces, and I started going to counseling to fix me so the next person I met, maybe we could work things out. But anyway, I was playing some church league softball, and we were playing August 13th on a Friday, 2004, playing a double elimination tournament. Well, during the first game, we're playing, and I got this impression that I needed to leave. Now, in my logic, I'm sitting there, I'm in the middle of a game, you know, I don't think that would be appropriate to the team that I'd bail out on them. So the game ended. The impression came a little stronger the second time, you need to leave now. And I'm like, okay. So I went to the coach and I said, I got to go. And he says, what for? I shouldn't have said this, but I did. I think I have a date. And he said, would you plan a date for? And I said, I didn't. So anyway, to bring us in, I brought a change of clothes. I like to dance. And there was a place that used to be really friendly, family friendly, called Mike's Music and Dance Hall. And I like to go down there and dance. So that's where I headed. And when I got there, I walked in and I saw a couple of ladies from a singles group from another church here in Columbus, and saw them with somebody else this particular time. So I asked one of the regulars who she was, and they didn't know. So I shyly walked over to the table and introduced myself. So here's her side of how she ended up there.
Months before this, I had been praying for specifically praying, like bullet points, for a possible husband if I were to be remarried. And but anyway, months before that, I went to the doctor that my mother saw with my mother. It was her appointment. It was a 45-minute appointment. Maybe 15, 20 minutes was devoted to my mother. The rest of the time was, the doctor was talking about his dancing. He loved to dance. And yeah, he talked about all his experiences. Well, that was months, you know, before that. Anyway, so fast forward, and the singles group at the church that I attended, the girls said, hey, we're going to Mike's Music and Dance Barn. Why don't you go with us? Well, I turned them down the first time. And next time, a couple weeks later, they invited me. And I thought, well, okay. And that visit, the doctor's visit, it was like, you know, let's just see what that dancing's all about. You know, I mean, anyway. So I went. And like I said, in, well, like he said in his shy way, he came over. But that's the background with me.
So I go to the table and we start talking, and a very good two-step song came on, and so I invited her to dance with me. And so we all danced for her, and she danced very well. So here's again where I need to keep my mouth shut, but I didn't. So we get back to the table, and I said, so how long have you been dancing? And she said,
well, not since my senior prom.
And I said, wow, that was a long, and I stopped.
Yeah, and I said, I don't like you. I don't like you.
And I said, well, I'll grow on you.
And she said, yeah, like moss, yeah. Anyway.
So anyway, we got past that, and then we talked a little more, and then I excused myself and went and visited some other friends there. And while I was visiting, she walked by, and she said she had to leave. So again, in my shy way, I kind of asked her for a phone number, and she reluctantly gave it to me. But if I wouldn't have listened to the Holy Spirit and stayed for that second game, she'd have been gone by the time I got there.
Yeah.
And, well, let's get to the list real quick. Okay, so she wrote a list. How many items?
Oh, there was, I don't know, 25 to 30 items specific. And he fulfilled every one of those. And I also had kind of a time, you know, you're talking about church, you know, and about, you know, whatever God, whatever the building God's going to give us, we need to pray specifically. You know, let's be praying specifically. But I also had kind of a time. It's like either God, you want me to remarry, or God, you want me to stay single. But I needed to know specifically, you know, how much longer do I pray for this? Or do I just, you know, just go on with my life? And I had prayed that I would know by that year that I was, that we met in August. So God, yeah, he was early. He didn't wait till December. So, you know, he was very good, very good. And I'm very grateful for my husband.
Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, guys. So yeah, that's how the Holy Spirit works, man. I mean, you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He always has your best intentions in mind. So I think a lot of people think that walking by the Spirit means you're going to have to listen to God so that when he speaks, he's going to take your life down a road that leads to your ruin or something. No, that's not what God does. God's always got your best intentions in mind. And learning to listen to him, I want to reiterate what Steve said in his email, learning to listen to him, that still small voice, which is what he did in that situation that he just described, and then responding to that, even when it doesn't seem to make sense or seem logical or it's an inconvenience. Okay? So that was very good. Well, also in that email thread, Michael Smiley added some thoughts there, and he added that walking in the Spirit to him means living in a state, now get this, this is really good, living in a state of perpetual transformation through the renewing of the mind, and he referenced Romans 12:2, so let's look at that real quick. Romans 12:2, a familiar verse, says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, God has in mind for you to always consistently be transformed in a process of transformation. Reading on, then you will be able to test and approve what is good, what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So yeah, I think that's great insight that walking the Spirit means allowing God to change the way that we think and change our perception of reality, if that makes sense. Let me give you an example of that. You know, we look at the world around us right now and we can become so frustrated at the way people think and how they behave and how they respond. And it's because their minds aren't renewed. Their minds aren't renewed. In fact, their minds are darkened, as a matter of fact. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the God of this age, meaning Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So you see, when we walk in the Spirit and allow God to shape the way that we think and shape our perception of reality, then light enters our hearts. Light and truth enters our hearts. You know, I tell people from time to time, and I think you've heard me say it before, that after I came to Christ, I got smarter. And I really believe that. In fact, I don't just believe it, I know it. I know that I got smarter. You see, before I started walking with Christ, I was living in darkness. And my thoughts and my actions reflected that darkness. And some of the things that I prided myself in, folks, are reprehensible to me today, because now I'm living in light. And back then, I couldn't see my darkened, degenerate state. You follow me? See, and that's why for the Christian, it's so often very frustrating seeing what we see around us, because our minds are renewed now, you see. And we see the people around us who live in the darkness and loving that darkness, and we just don't get that, do we? As a matter of fact, the late Christian singer Keith Green has a song that says, "How can they live without Jesus? How can they live without God's Son? How can they feel so at home down here when there's so much more up above?" And I think many of God's people share that sentiment, wouldn't you agree? We look around at the moral degradation around us, and our hearts say, how can they live without Jesus? So Michael and Steve both make a great point on this point about it starts in the mind. Walking in the Spirit starts with renewing the mind and listening to that still small voice within us. So Michael and Steve both make great points here, and Patty, of course, that if you want to walk in the Spirit, you have to allow the Word of God to shape your thinking. And when you do, walking in the Spirit, to some degree, becomes automatic. Because you're perceiving with spiritual senses and not just with the carnal mind all the time. Are you following me so far? Okay. And I also want us to look, by the way, at verse 3 of Romans 12, because it really kind of elaborates on this point that walking in the Spirit starts in the mind. So this is another example of how walking the Spirit starts in the mind. So let's read Romans 12, 3 as well. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think, there it is, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment according to the measure of faith that God has given you. So it's telling us to engage our minds, the minds that have been renewed by the Word of God. It's telling us to engage our minds. A lot of people think that being a Christian means that you check your brains at the door. No. God wants us to engage our minds, which is very different than some of the religions of the world that talks about clearing your mind and just being united with the nothingness and the cosmos, clear your mind. No, that's totally opposite of what God tells us to do, which is to engage the mind. To engage the mind, am I right? So on that note then, I want to refer back to the Galatians 5:16 verse that sparked such an energetic discussion in our men's group, which says, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So now let's connect that back to part of our master text in Romans 8, and we're going to reference verse 5 here on this point about engaging the mind. So let's look at this. Those who live according to the flesh, here it is, set their minds on the things of the flesh. See, if you're struggling with a certain sin area of your life, it's probably because your mind is engaged in thinking about those things a lot. But let's read on. But those who live according to the Spirit, here it is, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. When you're walking in the Spirit, you have your mind engaged in the things of the Spirit, and you more easily walk according to the Spirit. All right, so I want us to do a little self-evaluation right now, if I could ask you to do that. So I want you to ask yourself this question. You don't have to say anything out loud, just in your hearts, just ask yourself this question and contemplate the answer. What is occupying my mind most of the time? What is occupying my mind most of the time? What am I thinking on a regular basis? And what am I putting into my mind that might be affecting my thinking? Hello. See, those are important questions to consider if you want to be close to the Lord and led by His Spirit, because it's more difficult to discern the leading of the Spirit if your mind is occupied with the things of the flesh all the time, folks. But if our minds are constantly attuned to His presence, if we seek to know Him and acknowledge Him in all of our ways, and if our minds are being renewed by His Word on a regular basis, then that Godward attitude will help us to not be nearly as carnal all the time, okay? And if we are not living according to that carnal nature, but according to the Spirit, then we won't carry out the desires of the flesh, even during those times when temptation comes knocking. All right, so you see, walking the Spirit doesn't mean you won't ever get tempted, folks. It just means that you reject the invitation of that temptation. Are you following me? Have you ever heard the saying, he or she is so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good? Have you heard that? Well, I want to be honest with you and tell you that I think, at least in some degree, that's a pretty misguided statement. And let me explain what I mean by that. See, if you're truly walking in the Spirit, if you're truly heavenly minded, I mean, not the weird kind, not the bizarre kind, but if you're truly walking in the Spirit, if you're truly being transformed by His Word, then it will make you more productive and more fruitful here on earth. I want to say that again. If you're truly walking in the Spirit and endeavoring to be led by His Spirit, endeavoring to know God better, all right? If you're truly heavenly minded in the truest essence of what that means, you'll be more productive and more fruitful here on earth. Now, I honestly do know. I mean, I was raised up in charismatic and Pentecostal circles, and I saw some weird people. I'll just be honest with you. I saw weird people that I think that saying does apply to, that they were so heavenly-minded they were hardly any earthly good because they were just bizarre and weird. And I don't think that God's bizarre and weird. I think He does do things that rock our intellect sometimes. I will say that, like Jesus spitting on the ground and making mud and rubbing it on a blind man's eyes. That's kind of weird. Right? That's kind of a little odd. But, you know, there are just some people that I've met that they think that the weirder something is, the more spiritual that it is. Seriously. And that's not God's way. God is very practical, and He wants our minds to be engaged. Okay, He gave us an intellect for a reason. All right? But when we engage the intellect in the things of God, then it becomes productive. Are you following me? Are you on track? Are you tracking with me? Okay. I don't want to lose you here. I want you to understand what I'm saying. If you're really heavenly minded in the truest sense of what that means, then you become more productive and more fruitful here on earth. Now, I told you already that when I started walking with the Lord and exposing myself to His Word on a regular basis, I got smarter. I really did. You see, before I became a Christian, before I started walking with Christ, I was so earthly minded that I wasn't much good to myself or anybody else. All right? But when I became more heavenly minded, my life started to become way more fruitful. Praise God. I also want to reference again out of our master text, three verses toward the tail end of it. So I want to read again verses 12 through 14 and make some observations out of that. So it says here again, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So here's the point I want to make about this. You and I can put to death the misdeeds of the body, but we can't do it in our own strength. We cannot do it in our own strength. You see, that's another reason why walking in the Spirit is so important, because you can't live the Christian life without the help of the Holy Spirit. You can't. This life is impossible without the help of the Holy Spirit and you seeking His help. See, if you just try to live this life in your own flesh, guess what's going to happen? You're going to crash and burn. You are. You're going to crash and burn. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to get burned out. You're going to get mad at God, mad at the church, mad at yourself, whatever else may transpire as a result of you crashing and burning because of you trying to live the Christian life through your own efforts. You've got to engage and seek the help of the Holy Spirit. See, we put to death the misdeeds of the body by the Spirit as we tap into that power by seeking His presence. Well, how do we do that? Okay, I see. I'd just like to get real practical with you. And God is real practical. How do we do that? How do we tap in to the Holy Spirit and His presence? Well, again, it goes back to simply practicing His presence all day long. Or in other words, just being more aware of His presence and talking to Him and worshiping Him throughout the day. You know, I listened to a really interesting teaching by John Bevere. You all know who John Bevere is? Okay, yeah, I think most of you do. And John Bevere has a teaching about overcoming temptation. And man, he got super transparent in this teaching. Real transparent. And he said that early in his Christian life, you know, he kind of lived an immoral lifestyle in college. He actually went to Purdue right up here in Lafayette, Indiana. And what's that? he said when he was in college, he was just carnal. He was, you know, he was a real good-looking guy. So, you know, he had, you know, a lot of opportunities to be immoral. And when he came to Christ, he had a pornography addiction. And even after he got married to a wonderful Christian woman, he still had a pornography addiction. It gripped him. He just couldn't seem to get rid of it. And he even confessed it to some of his Christian mentors and leaders. And of course, they encouraged him, prayed with him, even rebuked him. And he still couldn't get over it. Until one day, the thing that he said really changed that for him is when he really started to become more aware of the presence of God in his life every day and pursuing an intimate relationship with God and practicing His presence and just worshiping Him and trying to get as close to God as he possibly could. You know what he found? He found that the closer to God he got, the less he wanted to interrupt that beautiful fellowship. The closer to God that he got, the more he enjoyed the peace and the joy that came with getting closer to God, the less he wanted to interrupt that and cause that to be inhibited or disrupted in any way or to displease God in any way. See, the closer you get to him, the more you enjoy that relationship with him and the more you're aware of, man, he's watching everything I do. He's looking at everything I look at. He's experiencing everything that I do, like I talked about last week. And man, the closer he got to the Lord in pursuing his presence, the less desire he had for those other things, because he just did not want to interrupt that beautiful fellowship that he had with the Holy Spirit. And that's what changed things for him. And it totally got him free. Totally got him free. And that's very similar. This concept about practicing the presence of God is very similar to what the Apostle Paul wrote when he said to pray on all occasions. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that you just lock yourself in your prayer closet and you pray all day long? No, of course not. Again, God's very practical. He knows that you have a life. He knows that you have a job. He knows that you have things to do. Obviously, what that means is that you just are in an attitude of prayer and an attitude of fellowshipping with God all day long, regardless of what you're doing. See, we're not supposed to leave God in our prayer closets. You know, you put in your time, you check your card, and you leave God there in the prayer closet, and then you go off and you do your own thing the rest of the day. That's not what we mean here. That's not practicing the presence. That's not walking in the Spirit. That's checking off a little thing on your time card. That's religion is what that is. Okay, religion leaves God in a little compartment. I do my prayer thing, check, and you leave God in the prayer closet and you go off and you live any way you want to or very apart from him the rest of the day. See, we're supposed to abide in him, folks, walking with him all the time. And when we abide in his presence like that, walking in the Spirit, again, becomes somewhat automatic. Let me say that again. When we practice his presence like that all the time, then walking in the Spirit becomes somewhat automatic. All right. Now, related to all this that I've just shared with you, the next principle, which is really, again, very closely related to what we've already been talking about, is to acknowledge God in everything. To acknowledge him in everything. My scripture reference for that is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, which many of you probably have memorized. So let's read it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Now, I want to give you a little bit of insight on this passage that you may never have known before. That word that is translated in that particular version into the word acknowledge is the word yada, and it means to know. As a matter of fact, it's the Christian Standard Bible, and I think one or two or three others translated exactly like that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him. Seek to know him in all your ways, and he will make your paths straight. Okay, so let me give you a little bit more elaboration on this. That word yada is the very same word that's used in Genesis chapter 4, 6, when it says that Adam knew his wife and bore a son. So it's the very same word for sexual intimacy between a husband and a wife, yada, to know. All right, so how do we translate that into Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Well, I think it's pretty obvious. Let's read it like that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, seek to know him intimately. And he will make your path straight when you do that. I feel like I need to say that again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own puny little understanding, thinking that your intellect is higher than anything else. No, don't lean on that. Okay, yeah, God gave you an intellect for a reason, but that's not the end all and be all, because there's an intellect higher than yours. Okay, so trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean or rely all the time on your own understanding. In all your ways, seek to know God intimately in everything that you do. And then when you do that, He will make your paths straight. So it's a completely different understanding of how we typically have read that passage, isn't it? I mean, to acknowledge something is, I don't think, as deep of an understanding as what the word yada brings out. To acknowledge something, it means like, oh yeah, tipping your hat to God. Oh yeah, God, yeah, thanks for this meal. Yeah, I acknowledge that you gave it to me. And, you know, thanks for all the blessings that we enjoy. I acknowledge that you gave that to me. And kind of leaving it at that. The acknowledge can be just confined to that little basic understanding. But yada is a lot more than just acknowledge, isn't it? And that's why some of the newer translations are translating it that way, because that's really the more accurate way and more descriptive way of translating that verse. Now, going back to our email thread where the men added our thoughts to what it means to walk in the Spirit, Brent Denny is also another one that chimed in there. And now Brent and his family are not here this morning. They're traveling. So we pray for safe travels for them and also the Suver groups that are traveling today. But I want to share with you what Brent added to that conversation. And he said in this discussion that what walking in the Spirit means to him, and I quote, look on the screen, to know Him in all my ways means that during business meetings, I call on Him. When celebrating, I thank Him, not holding it up for later, but in real time, as life unfolds, engaging Him and staying engaged. Isn't that great? There's a great perspective there, isn't it? And that's a similar concept to what someone by the name of Brother Lawrence, that's the only way we know him, Brother Lawrence, an author from a long, long time ago, that's how he referred to himself, Brother Lawrence. Well, he wrote about this concept in a book where he talked about practicing the presence of God. So it ties in with having our minds set on Him all the time. And as I've said many times, that God doesn't want to be just a part of your life, as in, oh, I love crocheting. I love the Home Shopping Network. I love coffee. I love football. And oh yeah, I love God too. No, not like that. Not just a little peripheral part of your life as one of the things that you love. No, God wants to be the center of your life all the time, every day. Everything should be revolving around pleasing Him and glorifying Him, acknowledging Him or seeking to be intimately acquainted with Him in all of our ways, all the time. So as this picture on the screen indicates, it's being God conscious even while you're going about the business of your day. But beyond that, it's also a focus on pleasing God all the time, and in not just the big things, folks, but also pleasing God in the little things as well, in the little things. So it goes back to our discussion last week, if you were here and heard that, on the difference between the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law, by asking, is this decision or what I'm about to do something I feel confident glorifies God and is in the best interest of His kingdom? That's part of walking in the Spirit right there. See, that's part of what it means to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, which is one of the greatest commandments, remember. That is the essence. That statement right there is the essence of the entire Old Testament law. Just love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you know, so often I believe that we Christians tend to overcomplicate things. Would you agree with that? We so often tend to overcomplicate things, but the Christian life really is more simple sometimes than how we make it. See, Jesus said that the law and the prophets can be summed up with this one simple statement: love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if folks, listen, When we focus on doing just those two things right there, a lot of the other details about walking with Christ, walking in the Spirit, kind of take care of themselves. They kind of just fall right into place. See, a lot of the stuff that we see as rigid rules and regulations, we will automatically do or not do if we obey those commandments right there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. A lot of the things that we see as rigid rules and regulations, we will just automatically do or not do as we're seeking to please Him and love our neighbors. That's pretty easy, isn't it? That's walking in the Spirit right there. So what I want to do as we close here is I want to close on a note of self-reflection. And Donna, would you come up and play something for a moment here? I just want us to get real introspective for a moment and end on a note of self-reflection. Ultimately, folks, when we hear a teaching or we read the Word, we ought to be reading it for how it speaks to us, not how it applies to somebody else. Is that right? That's so often what we do sometimes. Oh, so-and-so really needs to be here to hear this. Yeah. We need to make this to apply to us. See, the Holy Spirit's trying to speak to you right now. The Holy Spirit wants this to apply to you right now. So I want us to get real self-reflective for a moment. So I'd like us to just close our eyes for a moment, if you don't mind doing that. Just close your eyes, get quiet before the Lord, and I'm going to lead you in some questions that I want us to contemplate. So I'd like to, for each of you to ask yourself this question right here. Am I seeking to know God intimately in all of my ways, like my greatest love? And if not, why not? And how is that working out for you? See, today can be a turning point in someone's life today, in your life today. As you're contemplating those questions, I want to also make this statement. You know, folks, there's two ways to get to heaven. The first is getting there worn out, beaten up by life, defeated, dejected, and hardly any good fruits to show for it, but getting there by the skin of our teeth. You still get in, praise God, but without hardly any rewards and having a life that was pretty tumultuous in the process. The second way we get into heaven is living from glory to glory. Trials and difficulties, yes, because we're all going to have them, but living an overcoming life, it's possible. And the Holy Spirit wants you and me to live that kind of life if we will only totally yield to Him. So once again, we're going to have just a moment of quiet reflection right now without me talking. But I wanted to say all that as you're gearing up to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit right now. Am I seeking to know God in all of my ways, large and small, knowing Him intimately like my greatest love? And if I'm not doing that, why not? And how has that worked out for me so far? So I'm just going to leave you to your own thoughts here for just a couple of moments.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Andy Robbins and Blessed Life Fellowship. For more teaching and ministry resources, go to the church website at www.blessedlifefellowship.org. Thanks for listening, and may God's grace and favor shine on you.